الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. للصحابي، الله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم addresses him such, what a profitable deal, what a profitable deal. Meaning, what a deal you struck, O Abu Yahya. ربح البيع. Abu Yahya, ربح البيع. What was his background? What was his origin? He comes from the Numair tribe. His father's name was Sinan bin Malik, who was the governor of Ubullah, an area in ancient Persia, an area of Persia. His father was the governor of that region. And this man, Sinan, loved from all his children. He loved this little boy who was 5. And he called him Suhaib. Suhaib was young. His face was bright. He had red hair. And he was very, very active. And from his eye, the symptoms of nobility and intelligence was apparent. And he was a very, very happy-go-lucky little boy. He was humorous, and he would bring a lot of joy to his father. And his mother's name was Salma binti Qu'aid, al-Tamimiyya. She comes from the Tamim tribe. Mother had left with their servants and so forth, and they went for some kind of recreation or holiday. And when they were in this region, where they were gone for a holiday, he was gone with his mother, to this town called Thani in Iraq. This area was attacked by the Roman army, and the guards were killed, and the children were taken captive, and from among those children was a youngster by the name of Suhaib. Suhaib was then sold in the slave markets of Rome, and people would purchase him. One would buy him and the other would purchase him from him. So he would be bought and sold, you know, like so many slaves in the world at that time. And what then happened was, Suhaib was then purchased by some people in Rome, and he now learned the Roman society. But what he then found was, these people were very, very dirty in their dealings. And they would perpetrate major crimes and acts of injustice and offenses completely contrary to human rights. So he hated that society. He detested it. And he would often say to himself, إِنَّ مُجْتَمَعًا كَهَذَا لَا يُطَهِّرُهُ إِلَّا الطُّوفَانِ. Such a society, despicable. This area just needs a huge catastrophe, tufan, a flood to just wipe them out, or a tsunami. He would think, when he would see the dirty dealings of the people. So in spite of the fact that Suhaib grew up in this Roman area, under a Roman colony, but he never forgot his Arab origin. And the fact that his origin comes from the desert, he never ever forgot that. And his heart always yearned to get free and liberated from slavery, and he wanted to go back home. And very often he would hear the rabbis and some of these scholars of Christianity discuss different events, because he would attend lectures. And he heard them on many occasions mention about the arrival of the final Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Arab lands. A Nabi that will confirm the message of Isa alayhi salam, and who will take people out of darkness and take them into light. And as soon as Suhaib got freed from slavery, he headed straight to Makkah, because that was the prophesied land. And he went there. And his one intention was awaiting this final prophet, because he wanted the truth. When he got to Makkah, people actually named him Suhaib al-Rumi, because he grew up in Rome. He was a master in their language. His appearance was just like them. His hair was red. And then what would happen is, to get some position in Makkah, you had to come into the allegiance, or come into loyalty, or an ally with one of the superior Quraysh. So he actually went into this agreement with a man by the name of Abdullah bin Juda'an. And now Suhaib started doing trade and business, and through his trade, his intellect, his ability, he became very, very wealthy. But in this trade, in this occupation of his, he never forgot the statement of the scholar in Syria, in the Roman colony, in Rome. And whenever he would be in trade, he would go down into memory lane and asking himself, when is the time? When is it? Mata yakunu dhalik? When is it time to meet the final Nabi of Allah, who will bring justice and integrity into this universe, who will save humanity from waywardness, who would save humanity from promiscuity? He would aspire and hope and pray to meet the final Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one day, while Suhaib was in his errands, he hears, by the way, about a man by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who has been sent by Allah, inviting to Allah, inviting to Iman. This was what Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do. Those who would embrace Islam would make gusht and invite people to Allah Ta'ala. So someone invited Suhaib, and he hears about this. And he finds out more. What does he advocate? He calls to one Allah. He encourages justice, integrity. He, you know, teaches people about the harms of indecency, you know, forbidden actions, defiance, disobedience. And like this, he learned more that this man is known by the title Al-Amin. Now, he was touched. He's finding out, where is this man? Where is this man? Many didn't know, others knew. And he found out that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching deen in Arqam's house, the house of Arqam bin Abil Arqam, on the other side of the Safa mountain. This was an area strategic to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts, because it was well camouflaged. And this was the temperament of the effort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the initial stages. And now people actually warned Suhaib, be careful. If you're going to follow this man, you're going to be in trouble. You don't have family to protect you. You have nobody by your side. There's no one to stand for you if you're going to accept something new, a new trait or a belief in Makkah. This is dangerous for you, Suhaib. Anyway, in this fright, in this worry, he finally reaches Arqam's door. And who does he find in front of the door? Another man by the name of Ammar bin Yasir. Both of them notice each other, but each one is reluctant to actually inform the next of his intentions. In that, Suhaib then utters, Ammar, what do you want here? Ammar says, what do you want? Each one is worried, is the other a spy for the Quraysh? Suhaib then says, you know what, to be blatant with you, and to be, I really want to meet this man, I want to hear what he has to say. Ammar says, my intention is the same. Suhaib says, come, let's enter together. And together, Suhaib and Ammar, radiallahu anhuma, come by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They join the halqa of ta'aleem. They listen to the Qur'an. And they both vied with one another to recite the kalima. They took on to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands. They accepted the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And like that, they changed their lives. They spent their time learning deen, learning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings, his guidance, his direction. And they enjoyed his company. And like that, when they left his company, they left the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so much of nur to enlighten the entire dunya. Allahu Akbar. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Whatever they took from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they took it not only for themselves, they bought it in them, and they contained it, and they then took it to humanity. No matter what the challenge was against them, they went through sacrifice. Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ammar radiallahu anhu, Khabbab radiallahu anhu, Sumayya radiallahu anha, and all these Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through so much, so much, so much for Allah Ta'ala's sake. But they did not yield, they didn't give in, because now the news was spreading in Makkah that the poor people are embracing Islam, and some rich are with them, some prominent people are with them. And in this, the Muslims were tortured in Makkah, tortured in Makkah. The mushrikeen unleashed their wrath on the Muslims, especially the poor Muslims who had no protection whatsoever. Even women went through so much of sacrifice and torture. Lubayna radiallahu anha, Nahdiya radiallahu anha, Ummu Anis radiallahu anha, Sumayya radiallahu anha, Zinnira radiallahu anha, so many of them, they went through so much, so much, but they didn't give in, they didn't yield, they didn't surrender. It comes in the hadith Abdullah bin Mas'ud reports that the first to portray their deen and openly practice Islam in Makkah were namely Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first, Abu Bakr, Ammar, his mother Sumayya, Suhaib, Bilal, Miqdad radiyallahu anhum. These Sahaba radiyallahu anhum openly advocated their deen. In spite of being stopped, they did not give in, nor did they succumb. People would come to them and mock them and belittle them and torture them, but they did not succumb in the least. Why? Because iman is more important. To leave this world with iman, to live with iman, to leave this world with iman, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the difficulty, Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained firm. Muslims would come to them with different strategies, torture them, beat them up, burn them. If they were poor, they would punish them. If they were rich, they would actually threaten to take away all their wealth, and they would do so. And they would boycott them, and they would belittle them. But no matter what the challenge and what the sacrifice, Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained firm and resolved. Then the time of Hijrah came, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Allah's command has come. Enough torture you all have been through in Makkah. Now leave Makkah and go to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba radiallahu anhum migrated. Many. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Suhaib lost the opportunity, and he felt bad about this because he was actually imprisoned. The Meccans had placed, so to say, police around him to guard him and not allow him to leave. And there's reports that suggest that he actually had to plan his way out. He was actually kept in captivity for a lengthy period of time when he felt, to such an extent that he felt that there's no one left in Makkah. I'm alone. I have to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let them take what they want. I want to go with my deen. My deen must be left intact. In this, on one occasion, he used one plan, one tact, where he portrayed as though he's sick. He went as he pretended to go to the toilet and relieve himself. He was allowed to leave. He comes back, he goes again. He comes back, he goes again. And as these guards who are surrounding him, they then felt that, you know, this man is ill, the deities have kept his stomach occupied, he can do nothing today, let us rest. And in this, as soon as they go into their sleep, Suhaib radiallahu anhu runs, and he runs, and he runs. And then somehow these people get up and they make a chase on Suhaib radiallahu anhu. And as he is departing, he is running at his pace. He finally climbs a mountain and they are actually behind him, this Quraysh. So he gets off his conveyance, he faces them and he says to them, you know what? You all know what an archer I am. Anni min armakum rajula. And by Allah, you all won't be able to reach me until with every arrow in my quiver, I will kill one of you. And then the remainder of you, I'll fight you with my sword. But I will not give up what you want from me. They said, you came here as a pauper, a nobody. You became wealthy. Now you're just dictating to us. He says, is it my wealth that you want? My wealth that you want? If you want my wealth, I'll give you every last penny. But let me go with my deen. My iman and my deen is more important. He showed them exactly where were his investments, where was his wealth kept. He gave it all to them. And now he departed and he left Makkah Mukarramah with iman and deen. And that's what he left with. Allahu Akbar. He traveled, and each time he became sick on the journey, and he became weak on the journey. What gave him strength was, soon I will see the face of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Soon I will see the face of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what inspired Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Mubarak chehra, the Mubarak countenance of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He finally reaches Medina Munawwara. As in Medina Munawwara, he was so happy to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits with him. As they partaking of dates, Allah's Nabi says to him, Suhaib, Rabih al-Bay' Aba Yahya, Rabih al-Bay', what a profitable deal, what a profitable deal. Allah's Nabi tells him, O Suhaib, this verse of Quran was revealed. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد. الله أكبر. Among the banda of Allah, among the servants of Allah, are those who sell themselves. They sell themselves just to seek Allah's pleasure. for Allah's sake, for Allah's happiness. Allah is most compassionate with His servants. This verse was revealed on the hijrah of Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was partaking of dates. And Allah's Nabi tells him, what a profitable deal. You struck a jackpot. Allah forgive us, today we think dunya is jackpot. That good deal or that profitable deal. I don't mean jackpot in the literal sense. Allah save us from such places. Allah save us from haram. But the actual jackpot in the metaphorical sense, the actual success and the profitable deal is to please Allah and to invest in akhirah, offshore investments. He gave all his dunya, all his life savings, his earnings, his investments, but he saved his iman. He acquired Allah. He acquired Allah's love, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love and company. This is much better. And Allah confirms that by Quran. And as they partaking of dates, Suhaib radiallahu anhu was ill, and he had this illness in his eye as well, armad. And as they eating dates, Suhaib is also partaking of dates. And Allah's Nabi is saying, oh Suhaib, you know dates are not good for you, rather have something else. Kulthum bin Hadam radiallahu anhu brought for them dates. He was making the ikram. He says, oh Nabi of Allah, don't worry, my eyes are paining, but I'm eating dates from that side of the eye that is not in pain. So I'm eating the dates from the other side of the eye. This was actually the humor of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. Not that it's literal, but actually this was his humor. And he was a very, very humorous individual. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him to stay with a sahabi by the name of Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sa'ad bin Khaythama. So Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ammar radiallahu anhu, and Suhaib radiallahu anhu were staying there. And then with Al-Uzzab, those Sahaba who were not married, were put to stay with Sa'ad bin Khaythama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And afterwards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this brotherhood between the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So he made one Muhajiri and one Ansari, he made them brothers. One who made hijrah and one who made the welcoming and ikram of the Muhajireen, Allah's Nabi made them brothers to teach the Ummah that your nationality, your color, your race, your background mean nothing before Allah. It is your deen, your taqwa, and your akhlaq that means everything. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi. Ana minka anta minni anta bi. La tasal an unsuri aw nasabi. Innahu al-islam ummi wa abi. As the poet says so beautifully, oh my brother, whether you come from India, whether you come from the East or the West, or from China or Japan, wherever you may be from, you are my brother, I am your brother. You don't have to know what nationality or what my father or my mother is. That comes next. First you know that Islam is our mother and father and we are brothers. Everything else comes afterwards. إِنَّهُ الْإِسْلَامُ أُمِّي وَأَبِي. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of unity and muhabba and of understanding each other is so important, so important. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid the foundation of the society. That every person is respected, no matter what his color, no matter what his race, no matter what his background. So one Muhajiri, one Ansari was made a brother. Brotherhood was created between Bilal radiallahu anhu and Abu Ruwayha radiallahu anhu. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, Muhajiri, Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu, Ansari. Who was Suhaib radiallahu anhu's brother? Suhaib is the Muhajiri, even though he first comes before that from Rome. Even though originally he comes from an Arab background, Suhaib radiallahu anhu from the Muhajireen, and Harith bin Simma radiallahu anhu from the Ansar. So they were very, very close, and they did so much together, and they helped each other. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created the environment like this, because this quality of looking down upon the next because of one's color, because of one's race, Allah's Nabi said, this is despicable before Allah. This is something despised before Allah. This is something that has a foul stench in many ahadith. Even the last hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, in the riwayat of Tirmidhi, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is so despised. It is something worse than even that bug that lives inside excreta. This evil quality of looking down upon the next because of one's nation or one's tribe, this is something that causes the anger of Allah. And when we study the history of Islam, we find this caused the fall of Muslims so many times. Even at the fall of the Ottoman Empire, it was Muslims, it was the forces of Batil who made Muslims look at their tribe and their nation, that this is my nation, this is, and they looked at Islam as as secondary. This is how we lost the help of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established the society on this. What value Suhaib radiallahu anhu had before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahu Akbar. On one occasion, Abu Bakr comes in Hayat al-Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went past Suhaib radiallahu anhu and some Sahaba radiallahu anhu with a captive. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this captive and he wanted Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give him protection. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu made a comment. He says that these people should have been struck, their necks should have been struck. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got very upset, thinking that these are new people and so forth, maybe they'll embrace Islam, they'll see the environment of Medina. And this was generally Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's politeness with the new people. But we have to understand Suhaib radiallahu anhu and Ammar radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu's emotions, because they were tortured greatly by these same people in the Meccan period. So anyway, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu upset, Mali araka ghadban. Why are you upset, O Abu Bakr? O Nabi of Allah, with this captive, I passed by Suhaib and this is what they uttered. In another report, with these new Muslims, this is what Suhaib radiallahu anhu uttered and I got upset. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr, what did you then say to Suhaib and the others, Suhaib and company? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I then also told them that how could you have said such a thing? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr, فَلَعَلَّكَ عَذَيْتَهُ. O Abu Bakr, maybe you hurt Suhaib. Maybe you hurt Suhaib's feelings. Maybe you hurt Ammar and Bilal radiallahu anhu's feelings. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got worried. He goes to Suhaib radiallahu anhu. He goes to the Sahaba Ammar and Bilal radiallahu anhu. And he says to them, please make me maaf. Did I upset you all? Did I hurt you all in any way? Abu Bakr comes to them and says, Ya ikhwata, O my beloved brothers, aghdabtukum, maybe I made you all upset. They said, no, Abu Bakr, no, nothing of that sort. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to ask Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu to make maaf. This is the status, this was the status of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. And this was the status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who came from different backgrounds. But they came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the respect that they held, that they remained on qurbani and sacrifice to such an extent that there's a report that states, that comes in Ibn Majah, that there were newcomers in the 10th year, in the 9th and the 10th year after Hijrah. This was known as Amul Wufud. Many delegations come to Madinah Munawwarah, and Suhaib radiallahu anhu spent all his time in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company. Because now in Madinah Munawwarah, he devoted his time, Suhaib, Bilal. And sometimes people would look down upon them like, as though they were foreigners, especially during the Meccan period. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uplifted them and gave them the most honor and value, like in the incident of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as reported by Muslim Sharif that we just quoted to you right now. But in this report, these newcomers came to Medina and they said, O Nabi of Allah, you're sitting with these people who are poor. What will the whole of Arabia say? Give us a special discourse with you. And in that we will, we'll feel that respect and we will be able to participate. Rasulullah SAW sat with Suhaib radiallahu anhu and his companions and said, will you allow this opportunity that let me sit with them privately and so forth, give them that extra time and that extra honor. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at it this way, that these are his sahaba who are so noble and who have so much of iman and yaqeen, things like this would not affect them. Yes, it won't affect them. But then what happened is, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits with them, verses of Quran was revealed. Some of these verses that were revealed in regards to these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, were some in Surah Kahf and other surahs as well. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا إلى آخر الآيات. Allah says, O my Nabi, you patiently sit with these Sahaba, Suhaib and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. They are remembering Allah morning and evening. You remain with them patiently and do not turn your attention to anybody else and to anywhere else. Keep with them. Meaning, whoever else wants to join is welcome to join, but don't turn them away and don't turn away from them. Other verses were revealed on the same occasion. Is the verses in Surah Al-Kahf wherein Allah Ta'ala equates the parable of two people. وَضُرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, the parable of two. You know, one has dunya and one has akhirah. That parable there. And also other verses of the Qur'an Kareem. To such an extent that one verse in this occasion that was revealed, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا, when such people, Suhaib and his companions, who have firm iman in Allah's verses, when they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, O my Nabi, you greet them. Allahu Akbar. What is the sunnat? The sunnat is, and the etiquette, the teachings of Sharia is, when you come, you greet the senior. And also the one that comes greets those that are there. But Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Nabi, you are sitting. These sahaba are coming, Suhaib and his companions. When they come, you go out of your way to greet them. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. So the sequence was, so to say, changed for these sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were belittled by others, and Allah raised them and showed their true honor and their worth. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So just to explain this correctly, if one who's walking should greet one who's sitting, one who's in a conveyance should greet one who's standing, and one who's coming should greet the one who's there already. And obviously, the junior should greet the senior. But Allah's Nabi, sunnat is Allah's Nabi used to greet everyone first. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also practiced that beautiful sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally when someone comes to you, they should be greeting you. But in the case of Suhaib and his companions, you go out of your way and you greet them. Allahu Akbar. This is the value of these sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the value of the student of deen. That the student of deen should never be belittled, should never be looked down upon. That's the value that we should also hold, and that respect we should hold for a student of deen. An amazing quality of Suhaib radiallahu anhu is that he was so generous, so generous. He would always spend and give in Allah Ta'ala's part. Whatever he had, he used to spend. And he narrated the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خِيَارُكُمْ مَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامُ وَرَدَّ السَّلَامُ. The best of you, Allah's Nabi said, the best of you is he who feeds people food and gives salam and responds to people's salam. Suhaib radiallahu anhu reports, he says, on one occasion I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was sitting with some sahaba radiallahu anhum. So I indicated to him, O my Nabi, come, I prepared something for you, come eat. So he indicated to me, what about those around me? So I, so to say, wanted to refuse. And now in this, Allah's Nabi, he knew Allah's help is coming. So generally, a guest does not insist on his host, because that is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in his case, he understands how Allah's help is going to come. So he, so to say, says to Suhaib, let them come also. So Suhaib agrees. And it was a little that I prepared for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came and they ate, and there was so much of barakat, the food didn't get finished, even though they ate so nicely. وَفَضَلَ مِنْهُ, and there was much left of the food. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu would very often, you know, share and feed people food in abundance. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu asked Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Oh Suhaib, why do you hold the appellation Abu Yahya when you have no children? And you say that you're from the Arabs, but you're actually from Rome. And also, you feed so much of food to people. Sometimes I feel you wasting. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu had his chance to respond, wherein he said, Allah's Nabi named me Abu Yahya. So I love to be called what Allah's Nabi called me. And that was on the occasion of Hijrah when he arrived. And that is Umar radiallahu anhu's worry. He wanted the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam's names to be held in great respect. That's why he was worried about this. When he heard the answer of Suhaib, he was happy. And then he says that you felt I'm not from the Arabs, but actually I originally come from An-Namir bin Qasit, that Arab tribe. And we come from Mosul. But then we were taken into captivity. I was taken as a child to Rome. And I knew my lineage already. I was at that age of tenderness, but I knew my lineage. And I grew up in that society of the Roman people, not that I am Roman. And the third thing that you asked is, why do I feed people food? Is because I heard Allah's Nabi said, the best of you are those who feed people food. And then he said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, am I wasting? Am I spending in the correct avenues? He said, no, definitely, you are spending in the correct avenues. So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu had such beautiful qualities of generosity. And actually Suhaib radiallahu anhu was very close to Umar radiallahu anhu, and very close to the Khulafa Rashideen. To such an extent that when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed severely and he was on his deathbed, Suhaib radiallahu anhu cried so profusely, crying, screaming and crying. He lost control of himself to such an extent that he was saying, Wa Umara, Wa Akha, oh my Umar, oh my brother, oh my Umar, oh my brother, Man Lana Badak, who's going to guide us up to you? Who's going to guide us up to you? Umar radiallahu anhu got upset with Suhaib. Oh Suhaib, don't you know? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, May Yubka alayhi yu'azzab, the one who people cry for him to such an extent that they, you know, they exceed the limits, he will be, the deceased will be punished. Meaning this is generally explained by the scholars, is when if the deceased gave that will that people must cry to create, you know, that environment of emotion. Not that if it happened just naturally, like it happened with Suhaib radiallahu anhu, but this was the caution of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the cautiousness, and the worry, and the taqwa. And this was the love Suhaib had for him. He cried and he cried, and then as Umar radiallahu anhu told him this, he held back his tears. Suhaib was so close to Umar radiallahu anhu, to such an extent that when Umar radiallahu anhu left this world, He remembered and he upheld the status of Suhaib to such an extent that when he chose the six Sahaba to make Mashura on the next Khalifa after him, that this Mashura should be made. And in those 3 days, in the 3 day period that you have to make Mashura, Umar radiallahu anhu said that Suhaib Rumi will perform my janaza and he will be the Imam in those 3 days until you choose the next Khalifa, and then he will be the Imam. This was Suhaib radiallahu anhu's position, that he was made Imam by Umar radiallahu anhu. And all his life, he spent serving Allah's deen. So much he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would remain close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in the battle of Hunain, just to go back a little, during the battle of Hunain, Suhaib radiallahu anhu says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttering something, you know, moving his tongue. And I went close to him to actually remember this dua that he's making. And I couldn't actually, you know, retain it. And I couldn't catch on. And afterwards, after Salah, Rasulullah was reciting something also. And I went closer, but I couldn't. And first he says, I had to muster up the courage and ask Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, you know, you were uttering something. So Allah's Nabi then gave this advice. He said that it happened in the past when a nation was instilled with pride, feeling that, you know, we can never lose because of abundance, because of number. So Allah gave wahi to that Nabi of the past, that give your ummah a choice between three things. Either I will place death over your people, or the enemy will be given power over them, or I will afflict them with hunger. So when the Nabi of Allah asked his people, they said, not hunger, that's what we can't bear. And then the enemy killing us is something also very difficult. But okay, let death come upon us. And in that 70,000 of them died. So, O Suhaib, I am making this dua. O Allah, Allahumma bika uhawil, wa bika usawil, wa bika uqatil. Allahumma bika uhawil, wa bika usawil, wa bika uqatil. O Allah, through you we are trying. Through you do we charge and through you do we attack. This was during the Battle of Hunain, because a very similar incident happened where Muslims conquered Makkah Mukarramah, numbering 10,000. And Makkah came under Muslim control with a lot of ease, and the Meccans submitted and many embraced Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave the Meccans for their atrocities and their oppression. And in this, 2,000 new Muslims joined the Muslims. So going towards Hunain, which was just after Fath Makkah, Muslims numbered 12,000. So the new Muslims were saying that now we can never ever lose, because we are with the Muslims, and the Muslims never ever lost in spite of their numbers being little. Now our numbers are lots. Imagine how then would we lose. So then when reliance went on numbers, at first Allah taught a lesson that Muslims, many turned their backs and ran, mainly the new Muslims. And then Muslims were in trouble because the people of Hunain, the Hawazin tribe, waited for them in ambush. And Muslims were struck with many, you know, wounds and so forth. And Allah revealed the verses of the Quran after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين. This is in Surah Tawbah, because this is the events of the latter portion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worldly life. When in this verse Allah ta'ala says, Allah has indeed helped you and assisted you on many occasions, and on the day of Hunain, when your number affected you and brought boastfulness and pride into you, but your numbers could not avail you in the least, and you lost at first, and the earth became tightened upon you in spite of its vastness, and you ran in flight. And then Allah's help came again upon His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the believers, and Allah sent armies that you could not see, and Allah punished the disbelievers, and that is the outcome of those who disbelieve. So beautifully the verse is teaching us that reliance is not on number and so forth. And this is what Suhaib radiallahu anhu learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life. But Suhaib was also very, very cautious. He didn't just narrate hadith. He was very, very cautious in this regard. People would ask him, tell us hadith, tell us hadith. He would say, let me tell you incidents what happened in our lives. But for me to say, Qala Rasulullah, I am very, very scared. What if I make a mistake? So what we learn from here, Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to narrate the hadith, but also when we are not sure if something is a hadith or not, we should ask from the ulama to verify and confirm. Because we can't just say, for anything, any story that we hear, Rasulullah said this and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is so sacred. We cannot attribute to him something that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say. So like that, we have to ask and confirm from the ulama in regards to the beautiful ahadith and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his life, he spent serving Allah Ta'ala's deen right till the end. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This man who grew up in Rome, how Islam uplifted him, how Islam made him known, that we mention him, Allahu Akbar. And Islam reached us through him, Allahu Akbar. It was the year 32 Hijri, after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Suhaib radiallahu anhu became very ill. He was approximately 70 years old, 70 years, and so many of those years serving and striving in Allah Ta'ala's way. And it was in the year 32 when he passed away in Medina Munawwara, and he is buried in Baqiyya. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to value the beautiful lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and learn their lives and emulate their lives and share their beautiful teachings to the whole of humanity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.